If I can't, I don't want to be in the
Okay,
room.
good evening. This is Chaim Provender, Rosh Yeshiva of the Web Yeshiva, and the parasha of today's parasha is the parasha Tezriah. Parasha Tezriah. Now, we know when we get to matters of Tumah v'Tahara, of purity and impurity, about men, about women, about Kohanim, I mean, we can sort of organize the material. But it's not easy for us to get to the point where we really understand something. Is it necessary? I mean, today, there's very little of Tumah v'Tahara left. There's a little, something of a relations between husbands and wives, Kohanim, but not much. Like compared to the amount of time devoted to the question of Tumah v'Tahara in the Torah, it seems that we've kind of forgotten about it, or overlooked it, or found our way away from discussion. But I would like to mention to you several things, that one of which that we all know, and the other which we can probably try to understand together. The thing that we all know is that in the Parashot HaShavua, Shmini is followed by Tezriah. Now, Shmini contains the list of animals that are edible and those that are not edible, right? And the ones that are not edible are called Tamei. They're the unclean ones. And the ones that you can eat are called Tahor. Now, this is not about doing something special in the Beit HaMikdash. This is about every day. Every day there are animals that are Tamei and there are animals that are Tahor. That's in the parasha of Shmini. The parasha of Tezriah, and then followed by Mitzorah, right? The most years Tezriah and Mitzorah go together on Shabbat. But, you know, on leap years, we look for a few extra parashiyot. So Tezriah, it has its own Shabbat, and then comes Mitzorah. So in Tezriah Mitzorah, we deal more with the Tumah v'Tahara as reflected in human life, in regular existence. Regular, and yet, we're kind of a little befuddled by the idea that if a Jew needs a punishment, the punishment would be something that happens to his house, or something earlier that happens to his clothing. I mean, it remains a kind of a difficult idea for us in the world that we live in to comprehend. I just want to point out that Rashi and the several of the other Rishonim, when looking at these parashiyot, they said, well, why is it that Shmini comes before Tezriah? Why is it that Shmini comes before Tezriah? Well, why not? Isn't whatever happens to man slash woman more important than what happens to cows and birds? Shouldn't it be the opposite? Shouldn't it be that first we learn the parasha of Tumat HaDam, the tumah that's connected to man slash woman, and only then we would, as an after fact, we would learn about the tumah and tahara connected to animals? So Rashi says, and followed by other mefarshim, Rashi says, but this is the way it was in the creation. When God created the world, first he created the animals, and then he created man on the end of Friday, the end of the sixth day. So once that was established as a kind of a principle of creation, it makes sense, according to Rashi at least, that when the Torah wanted to tell you something really deep about the existence of man and women, that really deep thing was put into the Torah following the distinction of Tumah v'Tahara when it comes to animals. And okay, so if I tell you that, and you think about it, you might actually think that, okay, the Torah was careful in the way it made the presentation. The Torah was careful about what it taught us and how it taught us. But I still don't really understand what the words Tameh and Tahor mean in that context. I understand what the Torah says. And if I have energy, I could learn the Torah Sheba'al Peh on Tumah V'Tahara, which is quite extensive. But I don't really feel that by using Rashi's key, the key that Rashi gave us, and said, just like in the creation of the world, the creation of man / woman follows the creation of animals, so too, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu talked about Tumah V'Tahara, the Tumah V'Tahara of man / woman follows the Tumah V'Tahara of the animals. Like, I feel I've almost got it. But I don't really have it. So I think it's important. You know, it's important when you learn, probably when you learn anything, but certainly when you learn the Torah and you don't understand something, even if everybody around you seems to be nodding in approval, sort of saying, you know, I do understand. I think it's important that you maintain the honesty. Honesty, and if you don't understand, you don't understand. So in order to get a little more clarity on what Tumah V'Tahara might be about, I'm not talking about the information that the Torah gives us on how to recognize Tumah that affects a human being, or this process that leads to Tahara, and the fact that the Mefarshim of Chazal all seem to think that the kind of tumah that we're talking about in these parshiyot is the tumah that comes from doing something wrong. Globally, Chazal agreed that Lashon Hara is behind all of this difficulty. And in order to cure the tumah, we have to avoid the Lashon Hara. But that, again, doesn't give me a feel. I mean, it's a punishment. Okay, I mean, it could be a different punishment, perhaps. What's special about this situation? What is special about this? What idea can I garner from this? Okay. So I want to turn your attention to Pasukim Bamidbar, Perikei, Pasukim Aleph, Bet, and Gimel. Let's look at the Pasukim. They're on the... They're here. See, okay, Pasuk Bet. Tzavet b'nei Yisrael, give them this commandment, v'yishalchu min ha-machane called Tzaruah v'kol Zav. Tzaruah and Zav are people who are afflicted by diseases that have to do with the skin, or that are noticed, the skin is noticeable. That's a Tzaruah, and a Zav is other kinds of emissions. You can see, you know, people know their bodies are rebelling against them. And the pasuk said, "Vishalchu min ha-machaneh." Vishalchu min ha-machaneh, that the punishment, or the start of the punishment, is that these people who are identified as having this affliction have to be sent out of the camp, kol tzaruah v'kol zav, v'chol tamei la-nefesh. And everybody included is a Tamei la-nefesh. We're including now the Parshiyot of Tazria, Metzora, but they are included in Tamei, all Tamei la-nefesh, whoever comes into the category of Tamei. Pasuk Gimel, Mizachar ad Nekeva, no differentiation between the sexes, Tishalchu el Mechutz lamachane. Send them out of the camp. Tishalchum. Tishalchu el mihutz machane, tishalchum. Velo yitamu et machanehem asher ani shochein bitocham. They will not defile the camp which I am dwelling therein. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. So there's a camp, and then there are Mitzoraim, and the Mitzoraim, and the Zav, Vayishalchu min ha-machaneh, send them out of the machaneh, right? Kol tamei la-nafesh, anybody's in that category. V'zachar ad nekeva tishalchu el michutz la-machaneh tishalchu. There's like an emphasis here, send them out of the camp. Send them away from the place where people live. V'lo yitishalchum, v'lo yitamu et machanehem. Send them away from the camp. And Hashem says they will not defile the place. Asher ani shochein, ani, Hashem shochein, dwells bitocham. And I dwell bitocham. That's what the psukim say. That's what the psukim say. Pasukim b'midbar perkei, the beginning of Notso. Rashi, on those psukim say, says parsha zo nemra b'yom shehukam amishkan. This parasha here in Notso, which describes the day of putting up the mishkan. What did they do on that day? So Rashi says, this parasha about the Tzav and the Mitzora and the sending him out of the camp, parasha zo nemra b'yom shehukam ha-mishkan. V'shmone parashiyot nemru bo b'yom. And there were 8 parashiyot of the Torah taught to Bnei Yisrael on that day. Kidi'ita, as we learn, k'mo sheyesh. B'masechet Gitin, b'perek ha-nizakim, Beit Samach Amal Aleph, all right. Right, in other words, on the day that the Mishkan was actually put up, Rashi says that God's concern was about the Tzaruah and the Zav. V'shechu min ha-mechaneh kol Tzaruah v'kol Zav, that was the interest. Rashi says, "Vayishalchu min ha-machaneh." Rashi explains, "What's the machaneh? Shalosh machanot ayusham b'shat chani yatan." When the Jews in the desert camped, they camped in a certain way, right? How? What was that certain way? Toch ha-kla'im. Between the curtains, that's Machane Shechina, that's where we call that Machane Shechina, the place that Moshe Rabbeinu made contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's where he learned the Torah that he then taught to Bnei Yisrael. Chanayat HaLeviyim, Sviv, around that was what we call the Machane of the Leviyim. Kimoshe Meforash B'Met, Parashat Bamidbar Sinai, he machane leviya. That's called, in brief, it's called machane, the camp of the leviyim. Umesham bat sof machane ad galim, and from there it's like you see, it's a look in the middle. There's a kind of an area. And that is surrounded by an area. And surrounded by another area, a bigger area. Machane Leviya, Mishom Vat Sof, Machane HaDigalim. The Machane HaDigalim is where the tribes, the 12 tribes or the 13 tribes, the Machane HaDigalim, where the people camped. Each Shevet had a Degel. That's how they all knew where to go and where to camp. Bechol Arba Haruchot. He, Machane Yisrael, and that's called Machane Yisrael, the camp of the people of Israel. So Rashi goes on to explain how a pasuk, Hatzarua, the person who has Sarat, we can call it leprosy, even though I'm not sure what that is, Nishtalach chutz likulam. Hazav mutar b'machane Yisrael u'mishulach min ha'chdayim. The Zav.
Okay.
He can't go in one or two, but can go in three. V'tameila nefesh mutar af b'shel livia, and tameila nefesh is allowed to go in the b'shel livia. Ve'eino mishulach ela mishel shchina, and the only thing he's not allowed to go into is the machane of the shchina, where Moshe Rabbeinu meets up with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'kol zeh darshu rabotenu min ha-mikraot b'masechet Pesachim. And all of this is explained by the Chachamim in Masechet Pesachim. So what Rashi has taught us is that all of these words, Tzarua and Zav and Tamei LaNefesh, refer to different groups of people, and that the actual way they are being punished or being taken out of the community differs for each one of them, right? The Tzarua from all the Machanot, the Tamei LaNefesh from the middle, and then the Levim from one, says all of this is part of his understanding of the pasuk.
Oh, good.
Sure. Okay. So this is I don't understand exactly. There seems to be a combination in this pasuk between the punishment that somebody gets for doing something wrong. We don't know what he did. It could be Lashon Hara, but we don't know that for a fact. The punishment that he gets for doing something wrong has something to do with his potential to come close to God. In other words, it's like, what's the punishment? The punishment is not that you are a tsarua, that you have tsara'at, or that you are tamela nefesh. That's not the punishment. The punishment is that a person who has that problem can't come close to God. He has to be further away. He can't just be part of the community as he used to be part of the community. So this idea that there's a punishment that indicates that you are not able to find favor in your avoda, in the service of God that you perform, is found very much in this pasuk, or these two pasukim, in Bamidbar Perikei, pasuk Aleph, Bet, and Gimel. Aleph is introductory, so it's Bet and Gimel. And that's what Rashi leads us to. Rashi says, look, these people, they're not being sent out of the machaneh, not sent out of the machaneh in order to get a cure for the illness that they have. It's not because they're contagious that they were sent away, but it was rather that they were just suddenly too close. They were standing too close. So you know that too close is a problem, an ongoing problem in the Torah. Right? We learned about Nadav Avihu. We're going to learn about them again, right in the parasha of Achrei Mot. That their problem was not what they did, but their problem was that they wanted something that was not legitimate. It wasn't something that they could really attain, to be closer to Hashem, to be able to give sacrifices that they willed, and not just sacrifices that the Torah enabled them to give. So if I look again at this pasuk and I see what insight I could gain from the Rambam. Let's look quickly at the Rambam. The Rambam says, mitzvah to say, you know, the Rambam has this line. It's very important to him to define whether something is a real mitzvah or only a mitzvah. So he says, mitzvah to say, I'm going to tell you now a positive commandment that is written in the Torah. L'shalach kol hatmeim min hamikdash. You hear that? L'shalach kol hatmeim min hamikdash. Not l'shalach et kol hatmeim le'avra'a. You're not going to send them in order they should be able to recover from an illness. You're sending them out of their position vis-a-vis the Beit HaMikdash. Sh'ne'emar. Vayishalchu min ha'machane kol tzarua, v'chol zav, v'chol tamei lenefer. So you have to learn this Rambam with that Rashi, which is based on the Gemara. So this all comes together. People find themselves suddenly in the wrong place. They're in the wrong place. They're too close. They're sitting on too high a seat. They're wearing too much royal jewelry. Bet the Rambam, Zeh machaneh amur kan, the word machaneh, which is in the pasuk, see the pasuk, el michutz la machaneh tishalchem. Zeh ha-machaneh, Rambam. Amur kan, this is all Rambam. Zeh ha-machaneh amur kan, the way the word machaneh is used, hu machaneh shechinah. It's a reference to the camp of the shechinah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shehu. Mipetach Ezra Yisrael ulifnim, right? Let's defining it. Shomea ani shaha mitzora v'hazav et hamei meit shloshtan b'makom echad. Talmud lomar. You might think that they should all go to the same place. Talmud lomar b'mitzora. Badad yeshev mechutz lamachaneh. Badad. They shouldn't all be there together. Mechutz lamachaneh, moshavo zeh machaneh Yisrael. So the Rambam shows that there's a distinction. It's not that they're all together. That's what Rashi taught us. But he has his way of saying it. But it's the same idea. And machaneh Yisrael shehu mipetach Yerushalayim v'lifnim. Ma mitzora. Shetumato chamura, chamur sheilaveu, sheilucho bishiluach ha-chavero. Okay. The shiluach is not the same for everybody. Some people go further, and some people don't go so far. Afkol shetumato chamura, chamura shiluchom. The Rambam says, so the Rambam is trying to tell us that the Torah somehow is not just that the punishment is not the same for each of them, right? The physical punishment, the punishment of exile is not the same. And if I would ask myself, why does the Rambam have to emphasize that? Why? What is the Rambam's intention in teaching me that the shiluach, that the sending away of the different groups is not the same? Not the same. After all, whatever they did wrong, whatever they did wrong, so they're being punished for it. So I would say, I mean, thinking about this, I think it has occurred to me that the following might be reasonable. After all these tum'ah, all the tum'ah that we talk about, comes from tum'at meit. It comes to the fact that the person who's tamei, however it is that the tum'ah came to him, is in some way losing his life. He's losing his life. And if the life of the Torah observant Jew says that the only meaningful, truly meaningful act that I do is my attempt to come closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam, so we understand what the Pasuk is saying. What the Pasuk is saying is that the Tzara'at and the Zav and the Tamei LaNefesh, they're just ways of seeing that you have a problem, but they're not the punishment that that person is going to get. The punishment that the person is going to get is the fact that he's nishlach. He's sent away. Sent away doesn't mean I don't talk to him. I'm not interested in him. It means that even though he may battle his entire life to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through tefillah and doing mitzvot, at this moment, he's lost that battle. He's lost that battle. It is true, however, as we see in the parasha of Tazria and Metzora, that if there is, if you find Sarat HaBeged, Sarat in your clothing, if you find Sarat in your house, you call the Kohen, not the doctor. Call the Kohen, and the Kohen can get rid of it for you. He can determine that it's gone. He can change everything. So that the point of the punishment, the point of the punishment that you're getting, that's creating the tuma in your world, which is not enabling you or preventing you from coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it can be fixed. It can be fixed. There's a Kohen. There's a Beged. There's a Bayit. Things can be taken out and replaced and changed. And everything can be changed. The wondrous thing about Tuma is that in, as bad as it is, it's fixable. All the Tuma is fixable. The physical part of the tumor is physical, and it's fixable, and the spiritual part of tumor is fixable. So you see that the idea that the parashiot of tumor, Shmini, Tazria, and Mitzorah, not the only place there is tumor. For example, in the Torah here we have Bamidbar, Parakeh. But this idea that Rashi taught us, that just like the animals were created before man, that man slash woman is a higher level of creation, it makes sense that the tumor of man should come after the explanation of which of the animals are tummy and which are tahor, because the necessity to maintaining the creation falls to man and not to animals. And since the maintaining of creation falls to man, it makes sense that for man, the tumor can be resolved. You can rectify the tumor. You can make it, change it to what it was before. Okay. Rabosai, I wish you all Chag Hashem Sameach. I'm not sure whether we're going to do this next week, but I'm sure you'll get some sort of notification. All the best. Be well.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wonderful share. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm Huck Smith.
Thanks for